Right Then, Wednesday, 5 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College. I'm your host, Tom Ryan, my lovely wife, co-host and engineer extraordinaire, Heidi Morales-Ryan, here as well.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah, we're going to talk music stuff for the next hour, as we always do every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. We've been counting our way through top 500 of the top 40, alternative top 40, which is also another list of 500 albums. And we have worked our way up chronologically to the spring of 1969. And what we've got today is actually part one of a double album that was released in May of that year, 1969. Went to number four on the pop charts. So this is part of the top 500 of the top 40. One of the, what an album that I would say is one of the 500 best albums that ever graced the top 40 lists. It was huge when it came out. It's by The Who, and it's called Tommy.
Nice.
Few albums have caused as much of a sensation, as well as consternation, as The Who's Tommy album. The idea of creating a rock opera was a new concept pretty much to everybody except Pete Townsend. He was kicking that idea around for a while. And critics, when it came out, were tripping over themselves and their attempts to take this as seriously as the word opera implied that it should be. So everybody, you know, critics were like raving about it at the time.
Not necessarily in a good way.
Well, no, usually they were. I mean, most critics were really positive on the album.
Oh.
The thing, what was overlooked then, though, was that the story itself made very little sense. As far as an opera, it was almost impossible to figure out what was going on.
Most people can't figure out real operas anyway.
Good point. But the other thing is, like, the album's pacing is ludicrously lopsided. Like, I'd say half of the storyline takes place in the first 5 or 6 minutes of the record. And then after that, it's more or less, you know, the rest of the story for 3.5 albums. I should say 3.5 sides. Pete Townsend, of course, the songwriter for just about the entire album mostly, had already displayed his penchant for conceptualism, I guess you could say, having already written a mini storyboard song with that song called A Quick One While He's Away, which made it onto their second album. And the commercially themed The Who Sell Out was another way of Townsend playing with concepts. But Tommy was like simply an enlargement, a huge enlargement of his proclivity to work within a theme. And it became a method that applied to almost everything that Townsend did from this point going forward. Projects like Quadrophenia, Lifehouse, which became so unwieldy that he had to abandon it, and it ended up becoming the album Who's Next. As a solo artist, Iron Man. There's so many of them that Townsend came up with. Well, today what we're going to do is we're going to cover part one of the album. Next week we'll do part two. Essentially, if you don't know the album, in short, this is what happened. Actually, like I said, almost half of the story takes place right there in the first lyrical song, where there's an army captain named Walker goes missing and is believed dead. His widow is back home, gives birth to their son, Tommy, and she starts an affair with another man. But then Captain Walker turns out he wasn't dead. He comes back home, sees the other man, murders him. And then the wife has got to convince Tommy that he didn't see anything. He didn't hear anything. He can't say anything. So the trauma of the event turned Tommy into a deaf, dumb, and blind boy in the song. And for the rest of the album, basically it's Tommy, you know, going through life as a deaf, dumb, and blind boy, while his parents make various attempts to try to cure him. Let's start the album, then, with the opening track. It's called Overture. And we'll take that right into It's a Boy and 1921, which is where the story lies. Take care. We'll see you in a few minutes after those three tracks. We'll be right back.
his unborn child will never know him. Believe him, miss him with a number of men. Don't expect to see him again.
Be a good year, especially if you and me sit in together. So you think 21 is gonna be a good year? Could be good for me and her, but you and her, no, never. I had no reason to be over-optimistic, somehow when you smile I can brave bad weather. What about the boy? What about the boy? What about the boy? He saw it all. You didn't hear it, you didn't see it, you won't see nothing. No one never in your life, you never heard it. Said it all seems without any proof. You didn't hear it, you didn't see it, you never heard it, not a word of it. You won't see nothing to no one. Never tell a soul what you know is the truth.
Got a feeling 21 is gonna be a good year, especially if you and me see it in together. Got a feeling 21 is gonna be a good year, especially if you and me see it in together. I had no reason to be over-optimistic, but somehow when you smiled I could brave bad weather.
Right then, the overture into It's a Boy and 1921. It's a little confusing because I think they number it differently. I got a feeling 21 is going to be a good year, especially if you and me see it in together. You can hear how the story opens up there and begins to form. It was a weird time in the Who's career, by the way. First of all, at this point in time, most Americans were still not really aware of the band. They had one hit single from their previous album, and the stuff before that was almost exclusively English hits. So we didn't really have a good idea, a good feel for the band. This is the album that broke them wide open, and it came at a time when they really needed it. It was possible that the Who felt that their whole commercial success was on the wane. After they did have the American hit, they released another single called Dogs, and it failed to make the top 20 in England, and it didn't chart at all here in the United States. And there was actually seemed to be a genuine risk that the band was going to break up because they just didn't know if they had much more in them. Townsend came up with this idea, though, for this opera. But the problem was, I mean, the real reason why they were thinking of splitting up was the band was unable to make money. Their entire reputation was based upon their live act, where they destroyed their equipment. And if they kept destroying their equipment every time they did a live show, they were going deeper and deeper into debt. They weren't making money. They were losing money.
They needed to buy throwaway equipment.
They had a problem. I mean, the fact is, I mean, you know, they had they had deals with some of the manufacturers of the equipment. Like Premier Drums was sponsoring Keith Moon, but they've said, no, we're not doing it anymore.
We can't give you a new drum kit for every show.
Right. That's just not going to happen. So they refused to give him any more drums. In fact, he actually had to play a roadie's drum kit in the studio when they made this album.
Oh, funny.
How amazing is that?
So long as he promised not to destroy it.
Right. One of the roadies had a double bass drum kit. So that's what Keith Moon was playing on when they recorded this album. All right, let's work our way through side one then with Amazing Journey, Sparks. And I guess we could also take it right through to The Hawker, which is actually a song not written by Pete Townsend, but written by Sonny Boy Williamson that they cover here, basically because it fits the bill of trying to find somebody to help cure Tommy.
Dumb and blind boy, he's in a quiet vibration land. Strange as it seems, his musical dreams ain't quite so bad. Sickness will surely take the mind, where minds can't on the amazing journey to get your we'll be right back.
of The Who's opera, Tommy, as it appeared on album. That would have been the first side of the vinyl. This is one of the first times, I think, that I saw, well, there weren't very many double albums then in the first place, but this was interesting because it was, as I recall, it had sides 1 and 4 on one record and 2 and 3 on the other, so that you could stack them.
Oh, yeah.
And you could play two sides on a stackable turntable.
Oh,
and then
that
when
was
it,
a
they
great innovation, wasn't it?
Right. And then when it finished, you just pick it up and flip it over, and then you'd play 3 and 4. You really didn't have to handle it much. So, and it was the type of album where I guess they did that because they wanted to promote the fact that it was meant to be heard.
Oh, it was continuity.
Right. With a sense of continuity. It would have been weird if you... I don't know if I ever did, for example, just put on side 4 of this album.
Probably not.
I probably never did. I think
every
time.
And when you played the two sides, it was time for intermission anyway.
Right,
like
right.
Like a true opera.
I'm pretty sure that every single time I played this album, I played the entire thing. I had the 90 minutes that I needed or whatever to do that and played the entire album. It took the band forever to make the record. They didn't have even as Townsend was writing, they were writing it as they were recording it. And this caused all sorts of delays and reconfigurations and overdubs. The name changed. It was originally going to just be called Deaf, Dumb, and Blind Boy.
Oh, boy.
Then they thought, maybe how about Amazing Journey? They even thought of, like, the Brain Opera, whatever that's about.
Pete's always got wacky ideas, doesn't he?
Right. You know, Omnibus was another name. Eventually, he just settled on the name Tommy because it was a common British name. And it was a nickname for soldiers in World War I. So I guess he maybe figured that would work in because of the father disappearing and such. But like I said, you can see how the whole story more or less takes place in the first 5 minutes of the album. All right, before we get to side 2, let me mention we have a show coming up that we're going to be doing, and I'm gonna be asking one of the other DJs here to help me record the show to do an album for Sly and the Family Stone. I want to do that because DJ Solero, a.k.a. Earl Holder, does a show here based on Sly and the Family Stone on Friday nights from 11 until midnight. And he's a bit of an expert. So when we cover that album, I'm going to be asking... Earl to help us do that. And I think this is as good a time as any to mention the fact that he does this great show at midnight, Saturdays at midnight. If you're hanging out, it's called The Rare Groove Session. Take a mind excursion into soul music with DJ Solero. It will cover the artists of the 60s and 70s with an accent on rock. Earl has this way of finding great material that is really obscure. He surprises me all the time. And I love what he does. He's a great DJ, great person, and his show's a lot of fun. So check him out if you can, if you're up on a Saturday at around midnight. All right, then. Meanwhile, we'll get back to Tommy. Side 2. So we were discussing for a while, Heidi, whether or not we were going to be able to do a Christmas show. I wasn't sure if we'd have the time. As it turns out, we really don't have the time to get one done. But we're going to fix that right now. Very easily, because the first track on side 2 of Tommy is called Christmas.
Did you ever see the faces of the children? They get so excited. Waking up on Christmas morning, hours before the winter sun's ignited. Parcels are for free and curiosity.
Tommy, can you hear me? 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 Can you hear me?
How can he be saved?
See me, feel me, touch me, heal me, see.
Christmas from the album Tommy by The Who. This album, this is one thing about this album that makes it a bit unusual for its time. This was, keep in mind, this is around the time when a band would go into the studio and they would record an album. They'd usually be done, even at this point in time, to say in the late 60s, 2 weeks. If you're going to push it, maybe 3 weeks if you had the budget. But most of the time, most bands would, get things done in 2 weeks or less and get the album out. Tommy, on the other hand, took over 6 months to record. And it was a problem because their previous album was released 6 months before they started recording. So now that this process is going on and on and on, it was putting a lot of pressure on the band because, again, they don't have any product to sell. It's over a year since their last release. That wasn't common in 1969. If you were a popular band, you'd want to get out a minimum of 2 albums a year, if you could. Of course, times are different now, and in a lot of ways, Tommy is the album that changed those things. This is the album where it became okay to take a long time on a record. It became okay to start putting on loads of overdubs and to write in the studio and come up with your concept as you were going, so to speak. It became the common way to do things, but in 1969 it wasn't that way at all. It was a great risk. It could have been the end of the band. As it turned out, it sold 200,000 copies in its first 2 weeks alone here in the United States, and it became a gold record by August. So in 3 months' time, it sold 500,000 copies. So all the effort turned out to pay off quite well for The Who, and there was no looking back because from this point forward, they were and remain one of the most popular British bands here in America of all time. I would say that they're just about on anybody's top five list of famous bands from Great Britain. All right, let's continue then with a track from side two of the album. This is a John Entwistle song. Townsend asked John to write two songs about the dark side of being deaf, dumb, and blind, about physical abuse, sexual abuse, and bullying, that sort of thing. So this is, and Entwistle's really kind of good at the goof, at that sort of thing, the dark side. This is the man who wrote Boris the Spider.
Yes.
So here he is with Cousin Kevin.
Take you a week, but tied to that chair you won't go anywhere. There's a lot I can do with a freak. How would you feel if I turned on the
should be now. This girl could put him right.
funny to hear this record now in context. This was definitely the very first thing I had ever heard of by The Who. I distinctly remember discovering the album, and I was at a friend's of my parents' house, and they had teenagers who were older than me. And what I would, you know, I guess it's only natural. Hey, have you got any records that I can look at? You know, it's the type of kid I was. You know, I'd go over to the house while the parents were hanging out, and I would go into, like, I think it was the teenage girl's bedroom, and just to go through her albums. And I saw this record sitting there, and I was like, oh, what is that? I didn't know if it was Tommy by The Who or, you know, The Who by a band called Tommy. You know, I'd never heard of them.
That's how little you knew about them.
Exactly, exactly. And of course, now, you know, the album's quite representative of the band, but it's an odd album in their catalog because it doesn't sound like most of the other Who albums.
Was that your cousin Carolyn?
No, it was actually the McManamas.
Okay.
I remember I was up in Massachusetts and just hanging out. I guess it was around the year 1973 or so, it was maybe 72. It was late. Maybe it was even earlier then. Maybe it was closer to when the album was actually released. It might have been 1970. But anyway, all that being said, the album is generally a little bit quieter than a lot of the other Who albums. And Keith Moon made note of it, said it was very un-Who-like at the time. And that's why it's funny when I'm bringing this up, because I hear all these crazy Keith Moon-like things going on in the background, crazy fills. And he's mixed very low in order to bring the acoustic.
I'm sure they had to use a lot of isolation on him.
I'm sure they did. Well, I'm sure they just mixed them very quiet
because
they got to keep the acoustic guitar up front and center. Well, we've only got one left to finish out side two. It's an instrumental track. We started with the overture, so we will end today with the underture. And, of course, we will be back next week with part two of Tommy. Take care, everybody. Have a wonderful remainder of the week, and we'll see you on Friday.
Next week will be the end of intermission.